I guess it'd be kind of a little mini series on faith, the importance of faith. Also, before we get into revival, we're going to do something directly related to revival, and it's only going to be a couple of weeks, if that'll maybe a week, maybe two, on Reformation. Not the Reformation, but on Reformation, because we need in our nation a Reformation. We need in our churches. And so we're going to talk about Reformation directly tied to revival. As a matter of fact, some say you can't have a revival unless you have a Reformation. But we'll talk about that starting next week. This morning we're going to begin in Psalm 18. We're going to be looking at several verses. This isn't a long study. This is to wrap up, again, the importance of faith. I'm going to use some phrases that are supported by Scripture, or Scripture that, out of the Scripture, we get these phrases that remind us of how important faith is, much more so than just saving faith. We need faith every single day. In Psalm 18, I'm going to go ahead and begin with verse 1 since we're going to look at verse 2. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. So alongside that verse, you could write a statement such as, faith is sure-footed, for it stands on the rock. Faith is sure-footed, for it stands on the rock. And again, if you don't want to try to write all these down, you can go on newvisionbaptistchurch.org, sermon archives, and by the end of the, probably in the morning, I'll have it up online. Faith is sure-footed, for it stands on the rock. And the psalmist says, the Lord is my rock. And there are a lot of scripture, a lot of psalms that talk about God being our rock. When you think of a rock, we're not talking about a pebble. We're talking about a solid rock. You know, we sing that hymn. On Christ the solid rock I stand. Right? On Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. And that is true if we truly have faith in who Christ is. If we stand on Christ, then we're standing on a firm foundation. We have nothing to fear. We have nothing at all to fear. He's our fortress. He's our deliverer. Then he adds, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, I will exercise faith, my buckler and the horn of my salvation. Horn is used often in the Old Testament. It can even refer to the horn, the four corners of the altar, where sacrifices were burnt sacrifices to God, and the blood was applied to those horns. My high tower. When you think of a high tower, you think of a place of protection, you know, overlooking, if it's like a part of a fort, you would think of a high tower as something you can look over the landscape, see when the enemy's coming. Well, if God is our high tower, of course, he looks out for us, doesn't he? He protects us. Secondly, Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 2, faith is eagle-eyed, where it looks to Christ. Faith is eagle-eyed, for it looks to Christ. My Bible is getting very tired and wore out, but I refuse to replace it this late in the game. I'm not doing it. Pretty soon we'll have, I've got tape. I've got hot glue. It's held together barely. Hebrews 12, verse number, again, I'll go back up to verse number 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed or surrounded about with so great a cloud of witnesses, referring back, of course, to the Great Faith chapter, chapter 11, all the witnesses of God's greatness there in that chapter, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. We have at least one of those. Every one of us can name a sin that we got to really watch out. We're easily trapped by it. You're not alone. We just got to be careful. We don't point the finger at somebody else and say, I don't understand why they got a problem with that. Well, they would point to us and say, well, I don't understand why he or she has a problem with that. You know, because we all have a sin that easily besets us, trips us up if we allow it to. And let us run, literally let us keep on running or keep on living with patience, talking about the Christian life. Patience, of course, can be translated perseverance or endurance. The race, that's a Christian life that is set before us, or that is present before us. How do we do that? By looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured or persevered the cross, despising or scorning the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter is another term can be used in translation. So faith is eagle-eyed, for it looks to Christ. If we're going to say we have faith, it must begin and end with faith in Christ. Our salvation, of course, cannot occur unless God, which he did, poured out his grace upon us. That's unmerited favor. He did that in sending his son to die upon a cross. We know that. We have repented. We have trusted in him. We believe that apart from his death, burial, and resurrection, there is no salvation. It begins, though, with grace. For by grace are ye saved, and then the avenue to get to the grace is faith. If we're going to receive the benefits of the grace, we must exercise faith. After we're saved, we still need faith, and the faith has to be in the right person. And the only one we can really trust, I mean really, really trust, is the Lord Jesus Christ. I was disappointed. I listened to Bongino today. I always eat my cereal filled with fruit. While I'm listening to Bongino, that's my brunch slash lunch break. And, of course, he's lived in Florida now for quite a while. He lives in a small county, and he's real excited about the fact that all five commissioners in the commission there in his little town, I forget what it is, are Republicans. Well, all five, and he supported them. He campaigned for some of them. Talks about them, allows them on the show, all kinds of stuff. They voted for a tax increase. He went ballistic. Absolutely went ballistic. And then he talked about what the House is doing. They're going to do a temporary buy some time thing again. Not a continuing resolution, but something where they pass a few things or just to kick the can down the road again. He was fired up about that. He was on fire. He said, you can't depend on any of them. They'll all lie to your face. He said, I'm still going to vote Republican because what's the alternative? You know, you go from bad to worse. So he said, I'm going to vote for the bad because I don't want to vote for the worse. And it's one of his famous sayings is, Republicans are not the solution to all of our problems. And they're certainly not. But Democrats are the cause of most of them, their policies. And that's absolute truth. All right. Number three, faith is quick-eared, for it hears Christ's voice. Faith is quick-eared, for it hears Christ's voice. John chapter 10, verse number 27. John 10:27, and then, of course, 28, 29, and 30 are so powerful. A couple of them are treasure path verses, if I remember right, which I may not. He said in verse 27, "My sheep hear my voice." And we just talked about things that hinder us hearing God's voice. Finish that Sunday. He said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." And all of this is present tense. And if you look at verse number 3, "To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out." That shows the intimacy of Shepherd Jesus. Now, of course, he's doing a parable there. And then also, not only verse 3, but verse 14. "I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine." And of course, he purchased his sheep with his own blood. So he knows us and he wants that intimate fellowship. "My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me." So if someone doesn't follow him, are they one of his sheep? Now, I know that, you know, we can get out of fellowship with him. We can turn away for a time. But the Spirit of God is going to just really, instead of working through us, going to work on us. And you heard me say more than one time, we get spanked by God. We know it. And if someone doesn't get spanked by God when they turn away from Christ, they never knew him to start with. Because eventually, if we don't turn back, he'll take us out. Not out of hatred, but to keep us from causing more harm to the cause of Christ. I mean, if someone claims to be saved and they live like the devil, or they are saved and they live like the devil, well, if they're allowed to hang around for a long period of time, they can do a whole lot of harm to Christ, can't they? And his church. So God said there is a sin unto death for the child of God. And then verse 28, because I love 28 and 29 so much, and we had to read those. It doesn't go along with what we're talking about, but "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish." Now, it's interesting that verse 27 says, "My sheep hear my voice," in verse 28, "and I give unto them eternal life." So we are indeed his sheep. He knows those that will hear his voice, those that will respond to the gospel. And he said, "I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish." Extremely strong in the original language. "Shall never," no, never, "perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." We see the ability and the strength of the shepherd. "The shepherd will lose none of his flock. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." And then, of course, "I and my Father are one." That kind of makes Jesus equal with God, doesn't it? That's because he is, right? All right. Number 4. Faith is firm holding. Faith is firm holding, for it clings to Christ. Acts chapter 11. Faith is firm holding, for it clings to Christ. If we say we have faith, then certainly we should be clinging to Jesus Christ. Coupled with faith is hope. And in this nation as it is now, it would be easy to lose hope. When I see the ignorance, I mean, it's just, I don't even think, it's probably not fair to call it ignorance. I think it's evil. Just flat out evil. Some cases it may be ignorance, but all in all, it's choices that people make that are just evil. When you think about abortion, for instance, what does abortion do? Kills a baby, right? Now, 20 years ago, 25 years ago, even Hillary back 25, 30 years ago said that abortion should be rare. Okay? She said it should be something that's kind of a last resort. That was the mentality, okay, of many of the moderate Democrats back in that day. Now, though, it's become a religion, so much so that it cost the Republican Party a lot of seats in Congress in the 2022 election because it was still very much fresh in everybody's mind, and the radical leftist Marxist freaked out over it, and it the young people from universities raised up and they voted, and it was that issue. But I want you to think of the difference. Back then, it was considered rare, or it should be rare. Now, they're saying you should be able to kill your baby even after it's born. Now, they deny this, but they can't deny what I heard with my own ears when that Virginia governor said, oh, yeah, I think very, and he was a physician, said very definitely, oh, yeah, that mother, when that baby's laid on her stomach after it's delivered, it's between her and the doctor whether that baby lives or not. So it's gone from early termination, rare occasions, that sort of thing. Now, the radical left says, oh, no, you should be able to kill your baby anytime you want to. You know what that is? Yeah, you know what else it is? It's child sacrifice. Do you remember how God denounced people that sacrificed their children at the altar? They, in other words, they thought that it would gain some favor with God or the gods. If they needed to sacrifice a baby, it would give them some sort of pleasure and some sort of blessing from the gods. And there are those on the far left now that think that if they have the right to slaughter their baby, it's going to make them happy.
Well, a lot of them wear it as a badge of honor because they've done that.
Exactly. See the difference? Mm-hmm. See how much more evil it is now? And how much more of a religion it is now? It's actually a cult. It's gone even further than I thought it would ever go. And all of this after Roe v. Wade was overturned and it was given back to the states. And they would rather talk about that and using proper pronouns and the fact that all white people are white supremacists and there's racism everywhere. They'd rather talk about that than the fact that the murder rates are going through the roof and businesses are shutting down. Target and various ones are moving out of the cities because they're stealing them blind. And the border is wide open. Fentanyl is pouring over the border. Thousands upon thousands of young people are dying. But rather than talk about that, we need to talk about pronouns and being able to slaughter a baby even after they're born. Yes, sir.
I don't know if you watch Newsmax or not, but Carl Higbee comes on at 5 o'clock, and one of the things that he was talking about, he's been talking about the past several weeks, is the commercial real estate market is on the verge of collapsing.
I guess so.
And if it does, and you don't think that's not going to affect you, it is going to affect us very seriously.
There's a lot of things that are in the brink of happening.
This is going to cause banks to collapse and fail because most of their money is tied up in these real estate markets. I'm not talking about houses. I'm talking about huge.
Right, office buildings and factories. And
they're less than 50% occupied now.
Oh, wow.
So it's like, this yeah. is serious.
Oh, yeah.
This is a very serious issue.
Yeah, we are on the brink for a lot of reasons. Most people just don't realize. They don't watch anything. They don't listen to anything. They don't read anything. They just float along thinking everything's always going to be good because we're Americans, so everything's going to be perfect.
5 years ago, Peter Navarro, I remember this like yesterday. He was on, I forget if it was Fox. It had to be Fox because I wasn't watching Newsmax that much. But he was on Fox, and he even pointed out of this coming problem with commercial real estate.
Wow.
It's The banks are putting too much of their leverage in it. They're putting themselves in jeopardy.
All right. Acts chapter 11, verses 22 through 24. Anybody feel like reading? Get you involved. Otherwise, you're going to fall asleep and fall out of your seat. Somebody could be hurt. Go ahead. 22 to 24.
Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad, and exhorted them all, that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man, and full of the Holy Ghost, and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord.
That's an awesome little section of scripture, isn't it? Barnabas, whose name means son of consolation or son of encouragement, he went as far as Antioch giving a message. He had seen, when he got there, he saw the grace of God. He was excited about it, happy about it, glad. He encouraged them all, exhorted them, which is more than just a pat on the back. It's pointing someone to continue in a right direction. That's exhorting someone. Keep going the same direction. Or maybe they need to turn a little bit, you know, to the right. But what I love is that with purpose of heart, they would cleave unto the Lord, cling to the Lord. Why? Because that was the only way they were going to be able to withstand all the persecution they were about to face. They needed to cleave unto the Lord. And if we don't already know this, we've got to learn this really fast, because it looks, unless God intervenes in a great way, we're going to go through some really hard times. I mean, really hard times. I'm thankful that I live where I live. I mean, think about it. Now, we are sheltered as of this time from a lot of this, because we live in a very conservative area. We got a lot of pro-life, pro-Second Amendment, pro-God type of people that are leading us. We live in a wonderful place. I'm so thankful I'm here and not in the city I was raised in, Milwaukee. That would be bad. But these folks that are in cities, especially those that are being overrun by illegals and crime and fentanyl, I mean, we got drugs here, don't get me wrong, but not like Seattle and Portland and L.A. and San Francisco and Chicago and Philadelphia, huh?
New York.
Yeah, New York, D.C. We have a lot to be thankful for, but we've got to continue to cling to Christ. Isn't there a hymn, I Cling to Christ? There's some hymn that has cling to Christ in it. Does that ring a bell to anybody?
Is it a chorus?
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's a good idea, because we can't go wrong if we cling to him. Barnabas was a good man, full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Being a man of faith, a man full of the Holy Ghost, he exhorted them that they would with purpose. When you talk about purpose of heart, it's not just a casual thought that pops in one's mind. Maybe I ought to, you know, cling to Christ. No, this is absolute conviction. I will cling to Christ. I must cling to Christ. Number five, faith is heart loyal. Heart loyal, for it loves Christ. Faith is heart loyal. For it loves Christ. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. We just went over these not too awful long ago, so it'll ring a bell, I'm sure. Chapter 1, verse number 8. For from you sounded out or echoed forth the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. So they had a tremendous faith, a strong, growing, spreading faith, which of course would point to the fact that they had a great love for Jesus Christ. Look back at verse 3. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love. See how they're tied together in patience or steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. So you got faith, hope, and love. Faith, hope, and love. And it says, in our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, he's in the center of it all. Faith in Christ, hope in him and him alone, and love. Love of Christ first, and then, of course, love for people. Number 6, faith is resolute willed. For it says, I will. Faith is resolute willed, for it says, I will. Isaiah chapter 12. Isaiah 12, verse number 2. Isaiah 12, 2. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song, he also has become my salvation. Let me read that again. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Lord Jehovah, double name, emphasizes that he is the covenant-keeping one. The covenant-keeping one. Yah, the Lord. Yah, the Lord. Faith is resolute willed, for it says, I will. And then number 7, this is the last one, and then I got a short little section of 4 points, and then we're out of here. Number 7, faith is keen, K-E-E-N, keen, sensed, for it responds to Christ. Faith is keen sense, for it responds to Christ. Hebrews 5, verse 14. This is the portion that talks about when they should have been graduating from milk and been feeding on some meat, which I highly recommend. The meat of the word, they weren't ready. They had not. And this is so true for so many professing believers. They never get off the bottle and stay babes and just don't grow or grow very slowly and never really get into the meat. You'd be surprised the number of Christians professing, I like to say professing believers, that have very little interest in the deep things of God. Just are satisfied with knowing just the basic fundamental things that even those aren't that deep and never get into the good stuff. I mean, it's all good. It's all essential. Sometimes we even need to go back to the milk and be refreshed in those things. But we got to grow. I mean, it makes it so much more exciting to be a Christian when your eyes are open to different truths and it never ends. No matter how long you've been saved, it never ends. It's always something new, always something fresh. All right, Hebrews 5, verse number 14. But strong meat or solid food belongs to them that are of full age, those that are mature in the Lord, even those who by reason of use. So not just knowing a bunch of facts about the Bible, but along with that, having wisdom and discernment and understanding so that we can have our senses, our minds exercised, or we get to the point that we are more and more capable of discerning between that which is good and that which is evil. I'm still amazed at many professing believers that call certain things that are evil good and things that are good evil. Now, we expect that from lost people. The child of God should know what good is and what evil is, shouldn't they? Well, the way we learn that is by faith. And we get into the Word of God, and we, of course, grow and we mature as our grace and knowledge, as we grow in grace and knowledge. And then, of course, as we use the spiritual knowledge that God gives us and the wisdom He gives us, we learn to discern between that which is good and that which is evil. Faith is keen sensed, for it responds to Christ. He will direct us. So again, He's the center of it all. We respond to Christ as He speaks to us through His Word, as we learn what is right and what is wrong. Any questions on these seven? Anybody? All right. Yes, sir.
1 Thessalonians 1:8 again.
Chapter 1, verse 3, and chapter 1, verse 8. That one is, faith is heart loyal, for it loves Christ. All right, four more little points. Faith is centered on Christ. We've mentioned that, and this brings that kind of to a focus. Number one, Christ is its object. When we're talking about faith, Christ is its object. Of course, in salvation, that certainly is true. Acts 20:21, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is its object. Faith is centered on Christ. Number two, the Spirit is its power. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, talking about spiritual gifts, and of course we know the Spirit is the one that doles out the spiritual gifts as He wills. We know also that Christ, when He ascended, Ephesians 4, He gave gifts to men. So it's not surprising that we find the Holy Spirit in the Lord Jesus Christ, and no doubt God the Father involved in doling out spiritual gifts. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 9, to another faith by the same Spirit. Remember, faith, everyone has a measure of faith. Everyone. But there's some that have a spiritual gift faith. They can believe God for great things. I mean, great things. Mind-shattering things. I wish I had the gift of faith. I have faith. No question I have faith, but I don't have the gift of faith. That would be like a Falwell or a MacArthur or Alistair Begg, or David Jeremiah, or a Billy Graham, or there's another one just popped in my mind. I mean, there's a long, long list of men and women of great, great, great faith. And I don't have the gift. You might say, Pastor, you got any gifts at all? Well, yeah. And then, of course, the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, faith. So that reminds us that every single child of God has faith. Now, the passage, as I mentioned, talks about every man having a measure of faith. So we do we do have as part of the fruit of the Spirit. We don't generate these. We walk in the Spirit, and these come to us by the Spirit of God, and He does give all of us all of these. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, which is patience, gentleness or kindness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law, because remember, the law was necessary to restrain evil. But children of God, we have the fruit of the Spirit. We don't need a law to restrain evil, unless you want to count the law of the Spirit of life in Christ. Number three, the Word of God is its channel. Faith is centered in Christ. The Word of God is its channel. Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Some translations say faith cometh by hearing and hearing. Like, faith cometh by hearing and hearing, by hearing a message about Jesus Christ. I see a dust web. No, that's a shadow. I'm starting to see things. Oh, no. Last one. You ready? Number four, God is its originator. Faith is centered in or on Christ. God is its originator. Mark 11:22, where Jesus said, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Again, who else can we have absolute, unhindered, unfettered faith but in God? Sometimes people fail people, and we fail God, but He never, ever fails us. Questions or comments? Nobody. Any great words of wisdom? Mary, you got any words of wisdom?
Yes, I do.
You mean like don't bet on the horses?
Well, I don't do that.
Nah, I hope not.
Words of wisdom, yeah, seek wisdom from God first.
Always. Amen. Have to. Because we don't have it in ourselves, do we? We're supposed to search for wisdom like we would silver and gold. I mean, if we knew there was an area, say there was an area out in the churchyard about this big, and if you dig in the right spot, you got to go down about 3 feet, there's $400,000 worth of gold coins. You think we'd be doing any digging? I would. I'd be out there digging. I'd have my mattock out there and everything. I'd get shovels. Probably give it away. That's what I do with most of my money anyway.
We've been digging for a vehicle this week, so I've been asking for a lot of work.
Yeah, that's tricky. Vehicles are, even used, are so expensive now. You don't want to spend $10,000 or $15,000, $20,000 on something.
No, they don't know why you don't want to spend $30,000.
I know.
I'm only going to live 5 years if the world lasts that long. But
I got
it may
you.
Not last that long, because I'm not going to live a couple if Jesus comes. And
yeah. Well, make sure you hang on to the rapture. We're all going together. There's no one going to, no more leaving without each other. We're going together. Okay. Got that, Scott? All right, let's stand for prayer. I appreciate you being here tonight. Scott, dismiss us, would you please?
Father, we thank you for allowing us into your house this evening. We thank you for getting us here safely and for doing such a wonderful job expounding your word to our hearts. We pray, Father, that our hearts would be softened and that we would apply these lessons that you've given us through Pastor to our own lives, so that we may then carry it out into the world and teach it to others. We pray, Father, that we would continue to invite people, that they may hear the word of God and be blessed by it, be saved by it. Pray, Father, that you would give us the godly courage to share the gospel with everybody we come into contact with. Ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
God bless you.